What are you do? What are you doing here?
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson, yes. He had to take an unexpected trip out to Boston.
Well, I hope everything is okay with his folks out there.
Yeah, they're fine. It's his girlfriend, Leonora. She's the reason why he's out there.
Leonora? I never met her.
That's not surprising, Mr. Wilson. Neither have I.
Dorchester, we way better move this show along. Mr. Benny pays by the minute, you know, and he subtracts a minute from our pay if we don't start this show on time. Or if he catches me grabbing a donut during the show.
Now we better hurry, Mr. Wilson.
Hold on a minute now.
Not far.
Too many choices here. The chocolate with the sprinkles or the cream filled or... too many choices.
Mr. Wilson!
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to bring you that man whose first violin has been bronzed and placed in the Smithsonian, the man who holds...
Hold it, Don. Jack isn't here.
Oh, Phil, I saw Jack just a few minutes ago. Where'd he go?
Oh, he just went in the other room to talk to his writers. Oh, my, is Jack burned up.
Hey there, Livy. Those guys get away with murder. They never have a program written till the last minute. And you know how those writers can be.
Well, I'm going in and see what's happening. Gee, he's always having trouble with his writers. They always want time off to have fun in Door County. And they love to bring back all those Door County cherries and homemade pies.
Now, look, fellas. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. You've got to have the program written before we go on the air. Every week we just barely make it. Now look at today. No script at all.
Well, what are you worried about?
Yeah, it's only Friday.
It's not Friday. It's Saturday. And there's no excuse for you guys not knowing it. I gave both of you a beautiful, brand new calendar for Christmas. I knew this would happen one day.
Well, we were stuck this week.
Yeah, we didn't have no inspiration.
Oh, you didn't, huh?
Yeah, don't yell at me. I'll fly to pieces.
I'm not yelling. I'm just asking you to work, that's all. You're working for me. I'm the one who's paying you.
And that's another thing. We want more dough.
Well, you certainly picked the right time to ask me. You're getting plenty now. Now, why do you want more money?
Well, we need to go out for dinner, for a fish boil.
Now you listen, will you? Cut that out. Fine team of writers I've got. I've been looking for you all week. Where have you been?
Lake
Geneva.
You're not supposed to be in Lake Geneva. You're supposed to be here with me.
Come on, Jack. We're waiting for you.
Oh, Mary. I'll be there in a minute. Now look.
Hey, who's the dame?
That's Mary Livingston, and she's not a dame. And besides, you've met her at least 400 times.
Oh, yeah, that's the girl we write for. Right, Sam?
You're Sam. I'm Harry.
Oh. And I'm Jack Benny. You know, the one who signed your paychecks. Now listen, fellas.
Jack, you better hurry. You better let Brown and Ulstrup alone.
I told you, Mary, I'll be there in a minute.
Okay.
And stop whistling at her. Now look, fellas, we're on the air already, so I'm going out there and do the best I can. Meanwhile, you stay right here and prepare some kind of play for us to perform.
Okay. Let me see. What about some sort of murder mystery, huh?
A murder mystery?
Yeah, you know, where a guy comes home. And he finds his wife in the arms of another man, and...
Yeah, and the man's husband says, "Now I gotcha."
Why, Julius, what are you doing here?
You know what I'm doing, eh? I didn't go to Stratton at all.
Julius, put that gun down.
And look, boys. Boys.
Oh, no.
Look, boys.
Bang, bang, bang.
Wait a minute. Fellas, that'll be fine. Now just write it up, fast. Just so we can have a program today. Now bring it to me in the studio as soon as possible.
Okay. Now give me a pencil.
You got the pencil. I gave it to you yesterday.
No, I gave it back to you.
Yeah, but after that I put it in your...
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Here, use my pencil. Just use my pencil. Just get to work on that script and make it a good one. Darn those guys. They go to Lake Geneva and I have no broadcast today.
What's the matter, Jack? You having trouble with your writers again?
Yeah, Don. Every week they're getting lazier. And now today, no material at all.
Well, why don't you fire them?
He can't. They dug up a photograph of Jack when he was in the third grade.
Well, what's wrong with that?
He was the only kid with a mustache.
It was just a little fuzz. You could hardly see it at all. Anyway, that picture has nothing to do with my writers. If this ever happens again, I will fire him.
Well, Jack, if there's no script, what do we do now?
Well, we'll just have to stall. Gee, I bet Ronnie and Benita Coleman never had this sort of trouble with their writers.
Yeah, you're probably right, Jackson.
Say, Phil, what about a number from the boys in the band to help fill the time?
Okay, but I'll need a few minutes to round them up.
Round them up? Why, for heaven's sakes, what's the matter with those fellas?
Well, they don't have to play again until Dennis sings a song, and they get kind of restless, you know, sitting around on the bandstand.
Oh, that's too bad. You know, I want them on the stage throughout the show. Now, where are they?
Some of them are at that little bar across the street, and Bagby, Fletch, and Kurtz, along with Bridwell and Sammy the drummer, all backstage in a gin rummy game.
Five of them? How can five play gin rummy?
Oh, Sammy doesn't play. They use his head to keep score on.
They use his head to keep score?
Yeah, after a long game, it looks like Sammy has hair. Again.
Jack, the sportsman quartet is ready to sing. Aren't you, boys?
Well, that's a great idea, Don. We need all the harmony we can get to keep this show on track.
Okay, boys, hit it.
You know there's no one to talk with all by myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Hey, misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Wonderful you,
and I
know for certain, the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's just you I'm thinking of. Hey, misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you.
Wonderful you.
Like Jack Horner in the corner. Don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me,
and that's why I
don't stay out late, don't care to go. Oh, I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Yes, I said wonderful you.
And
I'm raving, I'm craving, but I ain't misbehaving. I'm saving all of my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, I'm crazy for you.
Gee, that's wonderful. Just like a afterglow has come over the building. Now, do you really think that Ronnie and Benita Coleman never have trouble with their writers?
Oh, Ronald and Benita are so easygoing, so very generous, so wonderful, so sweet.
Okay, I get the message. I still wonder, though, about their writers.
Benita. Have our scripts for the next 3 shows arrived from the studio yet?
Ronald, they just arrived by special messenger.
Our writers do such a marvelous job. Always working those hours and never asking for more money. Or wanting to take those weekend trips to Lake Geneva.
Or to Door County, although I do love those Door County cherries.
Benita, did Jack Benny mention Door County on his show last week?
Oh, Ronald, I don't think we listened to Jack's show last week.
Are you sure? He is our neighbor, and he's always quizzing us on his show. Just to check if we actually listened to it.
Or did we listen to Fred Allen's show instead?
Benita, please do not ever mention Fred Allen's name in Jack's presence. You know how Jack gets.
Yes, Ronald, I do know, but still, I don't understand why.
It's probably because of his writers.
Well, Fred writes most of his own material, doesn't he?
Yes, especially those characters. Senator Claghorn, Mrs. Nussbaum, Titus Moody, and Ajax Cassidy. And I bet his small team of writers don't waste their time playing cards. Don't you agree, Benita?
Oh, I do agree, Ronald. They'd never play gin rummy on Fred's time.
Benita, speaking about Jack Benny, Aren't we supposed to be on Jack's show again soon?
Oh, I do believe you are correct. But I will miss not hearing our favorite musical theme.
That's around us here today, and we will not forget, though we be far.
Oh, the halls of ivy. Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Well, we know it's not Jack.
I'll get it, dear. Oh, good evening, Dorchester.
Good evening, Mrs. Coleman. It's such a pleasant evening, isn't it?
Oh, it most certainly is. Please, Dorchester, do come in. Ronald, it's Dorchester.
Good evening, Dorchester.
Governor, top of the evening to you.
How is your cousin Rochester these days?
Oh, he's just fine, sir. Hey, he's out on the East Coast having a grand time, I'm sure.
Oh, Dorchester, may I get you a cup of coffee?
No, Mrs. Coleman, that's very kind of you, but I'm here on business.
Business? Do you mean Jack Benny business?
Well, it's about Anthony Jordan Othello.
Oh, you mean my role in that marvelous motion picture, A Double Life?
Yes, Governor, the very same. The very same motion picture in what you won the Academy Award.
Oh, what a wonderful role that was for you, Ronnie.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yes, it was.
I agree, Mr. Coleman. George Coker's perfectly mannered direction confidently guided such a brooding and cynical film noir.
Oh, did you enjoy that film, Dorchester?
Why, of course. I saw it in the Palladium in London.
Oh, I just love London. So majestic.
Tell me more, Dorchester.
Ronnie, I don't think Dorchester came over just to talk about your films.
No, it's perfectly fine, Mrs. Coleman. Actually, Mr. Coleman gave a magnificent and mesmerizing performance as the veteran thespian Anthony John, who begins to mentally derail during the run of Othello.
My, you did enjoy that film, didn't you, Dorchester?
Absolutely, and I also...
And director, George Cukor.
Oh, such a lovely man, Georgie.
As I was saying about Georgie, Mr. Cukor, his delightful use of the mirrors in the film.
Oh, yeah, I love how you often peered in your own reflection at those mirrors pop up in almost every scene. A true classic.
Yes, it truly was.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes, Dorchester?
It's about your Oscar for that film.
What about it, Dorchester?
I'm afraid I have bad news about it.
Bad news?
Oh, my.
Let me tell you the whole story. You see, I was tidying up about a bit around Mr. Benny's living room, and... So, that's the whole story, Mr. Coleman.
I see. Well, thank you, Dorchester. Yes. Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for coming over, Dorchester. Please do say hello to Rochester when you speak to him by the telephone.
Yes, by all means. Please say that for the two of us.
Oh, thank you. I should do that. Good night, Mrs. Coleman. Mr. Coleman.
Anita, isn't it time for the Fred Allen show?
Oh, Ronald, I'm afraid we have to wait for Fred's show, but... Jack is on.
Oh, I see. Well, where's today's newspaper? I think I'm going into the library and do some reading. My Oscar. My, my.
Oh, Ronnie, I do think I'll join you. Now, where did I put my novel?
Which book is it?
Oh, Ronald, it's How Green Was My Valley. It's a wonderful new book.
What's it about?
It's a lovely elegy for a number of departed loved ones in the vanished way of life of a Welsh coal mining town. And it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read.
Benita, an elegy, huh?
Ronnie, you'd love it.
Sweetheart, I'll keep it in mind when I need another excuse to not listen to Jack's radio program.
Phil, I hate to be a spoilsport, but I wish you'd get the boys back on the stage.
It is a shame, Phil. Look, Frankie Remley's the only one on the stage.
He is, really.
Jack, take a peek from this side of the curtain. Go ahead, look for yourself.
Okay, I will.
Well? Jack? Can you see him? Jack?
I'm still looking. Mary?
What is it now?
I thought I saw someone I knew out there.
Is it Remley?
No.
Dennis?
No.
Jack, who did you see?
The Colemans.
Ronald and Benita?
I think I saw them slide into the back row.
Oh, Jack, I don't think that they...
Shh, Mary. I'm almost sure it was Ronald and Benita.
Oh, Jack, I really don't think
it was them, and now I can't see them because the lights were turned out.
Mr. Benny?
What is it, Dennis?
I think what Mary is trying to say is that the Colemans aren't here tonight.
Oh, Dennis, how do you know?
Well, I was at the Beverly Hills Main Library today with my mother. And you know how my mother can be, always yelling at me and trying to get me to ask you for more money.
Dennis, get back to your story.
Yes, sir. Anyway, I saw Mrs. Coleman.
And what was she doing?
Yes, Dennis, what was she doing? Tell me.
She was checking out a book.
No, what book was it, Dennis?
Oh, something about Green Valley.
Oh, Dennis, that's my favorite novel.
What's the story about, Libby?
Oh, Phil, it's a melancholic elegy for departed loved ones and the vanished way of life of a Welsh coal mining town. And it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read.
Oh, it's an elegy. You see, now our writers have to get creative and start repeating lines. Thank you, Lake Geneva.
Jack, do you think they're listening to our show tonight?
Well, of course I do, Mary. They're always telling me about how much they enjoy relaxing when my show is on the air.
Does that mean they're tuning in?
I don't know, Jack. They might not be listening.
Don, what do you think?
Jack, what do you think?
Well, I'm sure they are.
Jack, is Remley still on the stage?
That's right, Don, he is. And do you know why? Because Frankie takes an interest in my show. He's the only one of the whole bunch who's loyal and dependable and always on the job.
Well, I'll wake him up and tell him that.
He's asleep, but his eyes are open.
Oh, Jack, don't tell me that trick of his has you fooled, too.
Trick? What trick?
He's got pupils painted on his eyelids.
Gee, he must have taken a lot of trouble with them. They're bloodshot and everything. But, kids, this isn't solving our problem. What are we going to do to fill time till the script is ready?
Well, Jack, you ought to be able to do something. After all, you are the star of the show, the man who keeps his audience in stitches every week, a man who can take a joke and milk it for the entire season.
Don, I've already signed your check for this week, so there's no need to carry your list of accolades any further.
You've already signed the checks?
Yes, I went through them all this afternoon.
Did you say checks?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. My mother was asking about those checks today.
She was? You mean your mother was talking about me and the show today? Gee, how sweet of her to do so.
Oh, she wasn't sweet about it at all, Mr. Benny.
What do you mean, Dennis?
Well, she said that your checks weren't even worth taking to the bank and cashing them, especially since I get such a wonderful applause from our audience when I sing.
Checks? Jack, do you have mine yet?
No, Phil, somehow I don't think those checks are anywhere near us right now.
Well, how do you know that, Livy?
Because Jack isn't holding onto his jacket pockets the way he usually does when he has the checks.
Don, getting back to your question about what I can do until we get the script, it's really not an easy question to answer. You see, I don't sing, I don't dance, I've never done imitations, and I can't juggle. Gee, I don't know what to do now.
Well, Jack, it wasn't Saturday. You could take your money to the bank.
Very funny, Miss Livingston, very funny.
Mr. Benny.
And anyway, Mary, I don't go to the bank on Saturdays.
Mr. Benny.
Hold on, Dennis. Why is that, Jack?
Because I just walk down the steps, cross over the moat, walk down several more steps, turn on the light, a single 20-watt light bulb, and turn the tumblers on the safe, making sure not to set off the whistles, sirens, bells, and blasts before ending with the siren of a foghorn. And then I say hello to Ed, who takes care of the money in the vault.
Mr. Benny.
Ed, is he still down there?
Well, of course he is. He's been down there for at least 10 years.
Mr. Benny.
Dennis, what is it?
What's everyone standing around for?
Because we've got a problem, Dennis. My writers let me down again this week. We have no script, no jokes, nothing.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Benny.
It is. Why?
What's the difference? Nobody listens.
Now, why would you say that? Dennis, why would you say that?
Yeah, Dennis, why would you make such a statement?
Dennis, why?
Now, wait just a gosh darn minute, Dennis. There are millions of people listening to the radio. It's still a huge industry. More radios were sold this year than ever before, and anyone who is on a big show like this is still doing a very important job.
Boy, did you sing a different tune when you cut my salary last September?
I didn't cut your salary. You're still getting $80 a week, just like you did last year.
Yeah, but what about that new clause you added?
What new clause?
The one that says a week is 14 days.
Hmm.
Jack, Good. How could you actually make Dennis sign a contract that had 14 days in a week?
Because when he's around, it seems that long.
My lawyer said the same thing to me.
What about your mother?
Oh, she thinks it should be half that amount.
Your salary?
No, the number of days in the week.
Now look, Dennis, as long as we're stuck without a script, how about doing your song now?
Hey, I got a better idea. Why don't you and I ad-lib a little? You know, to and fro?
Ad-lib, huh? To and fro? Oh, all right, Dennis. I'll start it. Say, Dennis, who was that lady I saw you with last night?
That was no saw. That was a battle axe.
Some ad-libbing. Say, Dennis, I think it's time for you to sing your song and with no ad-libbing.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, what song are you going to sing for us today?
McNamara's Band.
Okay, kid. The stage is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, what's wrong?
It's my mother.
Your mother?
She wanted me to make sure that you signed my check before I sing.
Ah, Dennis, you know Jack never does that before a show.
That's not what my mother says. She says he counts the minutes in between signing the checks.
I think you better start your song, Dennis. Mr. Benny won't even listen to you again if you don't start to sing.
Now, Dennis.
Yes, Mr. Benny.
We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, oh, we play the march from Saul.
Well, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horn they plays away.
McCarty pumps the all bassoon while I the pipes do play.
And the Hennessy, Tennessee, toodles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to all Ireland is McNamara's band.
Son Kalil, you said from Sweden I have come to play with McNamara's band and beat a big bass drum. And when they march along the street, the ladies take them grand. They shout, there's Uncle Yul, he's playing with an Irish band.
Oh, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the harps they
blaze
away.
McCarty pumps the all bassoon while I the pipes do play.
And the Hennessy, toodles the flute and the music is something grand.
A credit to all Ireland is McNamara's band.
Thank you, Dennis. That was wonderful.
Mr. Benny, were you looking at me when I was singing?
Well, yes, I was, Dennis. Why do you ask?
Nothing. Mr. Benny, I'll head back to the dressing room now and call my mother.
Your mother? Why?
I need to tell her that I ignored her orders about not singing.
Oh, please say hello to the battle act. I mean, your mother, won't you?
Sure, Mr. Benny.
Jack, there's a call for you.
Well, who is it?
It's Dorchester. He says it's important.
Important, huh? Really? Well, okay.
Mr. Benny, is that you?
Well, yes, of course. Who else would it be? The president?
No, sir, it couldn't be.
Now, why is that?
Because he's in Yalta with Stalin and Churchill.
Now, how would you know that, Dorchester?
I am British, you know, and I always know where Sir Winston is.
Well, that's not why I'm calling you, is it?
No, of course not, Mr. Benny.
Then what is it?
Well, it's about Mr. Coleman.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, really? Ronald and Benita?
Yes, Mr. Benny, like I said, the Colemans.
Well, what about them, Dorchester?
Well, it's about Mr. Coleman's Oscar.
The Oscar, huh? What a lovely little statue. So shiny and nice to hold in your hand.
That's just it, Mr. Benny. I had to tell him.
You mean?
Yes, sir, Mr. Benny, I had to.
But why?
Rochester.
What's he got to do with this?
Character?
Yes, I know. He certainly is.
What is he, Mr. Benny?
He's a real character, that's for sure. But anyway, what about character?
Well, Mr. Benny, Rochester told me that he can't sleep all day during the day because of Mr. Coleman.
During the day?
Well, he's either out, like, dancing with Lenora or playing gin rummy with one of the other four players, guys from his neighborhood.
Gin rummy, huh? Now, well, for the love of... Now, wait just one gosh darn minute. Five players?
Yes, he said five.
Well, you can't play rummy with five players.
A fifth guy keeps the score and watches out for the police.
Dorchester, what about Oscar?
You mean bright, shiny, and lovely to hold?
Yes,
Oscar?
Yes, the same, the same.
I had to tell him that you've misplaced, well, okay, lost his Oscar. Oh, Oscar, so nice to hold.
So nice to get.
Yes, yes, Mr. Manny.
Now, how did he take it?
Horrified, stunned, speechless.
Really? He was that mad?
Oh, not Mr. Coleman. It was Mrs. Coleman.
Oh, Benita was that beside herself?
Well, let's just say that she was actually beside Mr. Coleman.
Oh, what do you mean?
Mr. Coleman was spread eagle, face down, right on the bloody floor.
Did he fall?
Fainted. Straight away, right down.
Well, I guess I won't be invited to their annual 4th of July party. Gee, I always love all that catered food.
Mr. Manny, I sincerely doubt you'll be enjoying their finger sandwiches and their champagne punch.
Well, we'll have to find something else to do that day.
Not we, Mr. Manny.
What do you mean?
Ronald and Benita invited me as their special guest.
What happened to Mr. and Mrs. Coleman?
That's what Benita said. She told me that you and them are no longer a friend on a first-name basis.
Gee, I see. I understand.
Anything else, Mr. Banning?
No, Dorchester. That should do it.
Okay, Jack. I'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you, Dorchester. Goodbye. Come in.
Telegram for Mr. Benny. Telegram for Mr. Benny.
Right here, young man.
Are you Mr. Benny? Jack Benny?
Of course I am.
Mr. Benny, I have a telegram for you.
Well, I know that. That's what you said when you came in.
Please sign right here, Mr. Benny.
Okay, now may I have my telegram?
Certainly, Mr. Benny. Here you are.
Thank you. Finally.
Give him a tip, Jack.
Oh, yes, a tip. Here you are, buddy. Say, you're rather old for a messenger boy, aren't you?
You ain't gonna be getting the mumps or chicken pox anymore yourself, bub.
And I had to give him a 50-cent tip.
You gave him a dime.
I gave him a quarter. I know what I gave him. I wonder who this telegram is from.
Well, who's it from, Jack?
Oh, it's from Fred Allen. Well, I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Oh, hey. What does he say, Jack?
Yes, Mr. Benny. What does Mr. Allen have to say?
It says, Dear Jack, stop. Have been listening to your show. Stop. I have a suggestion that may help you fill the remaining 20 minutes. Stop. Why not announce your retirement and let your audience take it from there? Stop. Your friend, Fred Allen. Gee, what a silly suggestion.
Yeah, they'd applaud right through Amos and Andy.
Well, I'm going out and see how my writers are coming along. If they're stalling, believe you me... Look, fellas, I know it's a good title for a murder mystery, but where's the play, the script, all of the dialogue?
Well, we got a lot of ideas, but we couldn't write them down.
Why not? I gave you a pencil.
Yeah, we know, but there ain't no lead in it, see?
Oh, there ain't no lead in it. Give me that pencil. Look, fellas, you turn this little knob right here, and look, out comes the lead. It's an automatic pencil.
Oh, it's an automatic. Hey, that's good. Let me turn it.
No, I want to turn it.
Come on, just once.
I've turned it already. Gee, give me back the pencil. Here's a pen. You don't have to turn it or anything. Now, please write down that murder mystery, will you, fellas?
Okay, Mr. Benny.
Here he comes.
I hope he's smiling.
Libby, I can see him, and he's not smiling.
Boy, if I ever get my hands on that picture of me back in grade school, I'll fire him so fast they won't even know what hit him. Well, kids, it'll be a few more minutes yet.
What'll we do?
Don, I don't know what to talk about.
Oh, Jack, you're such a great comedian. Why don't you ad-lib something?
Well, you are right. I will. You know, folks, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. A panhandler came over to me and asked for a quarter. He said he hadn't had a bite in 2 weeks.
So you bit him?
So I... Dennis, I'm supposed to do the ad-libbing. Now he learns how to ad-lib.
That's the oldest joke in the world.
All right, all right.
Jack, as long as we're waiting for the script, how about having the sportsman do a number?
The sportsman quartet. Do they have anything prepared?
I'll ask them. Say, fellas, you like to do your arrangement for Jack?
Oh, swell. Great.
They said no.
They did not. Now go ahead, fellas. Oh. Gee, I thought I heard a phone. Wait a minute, boys. Hello. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Dorchester.
Well, I'm having lots of trouble here, Dorchester. What is it?
Well, Mr. Benny, I've been rearranging those antiques in the living room mantel, and I was wondering about that yellow vase.
Oh, well, keep that in the middle. It's in a very prominent position. I'm very proud of that vase.
You are?
Yes. See, there are only two vases like that in the entire world, and the only one who have them are the King of Siam and me. Or is it the King and I?
Well, Mr. Benny, and now it's the King and the Junkman. I just broke yours.
Oh, don't be silly, Dorchester. I'm having enough trouble today without you purposely trying to aggravate me.
What's the matter, Mr. Benny?
Well, my writers are late with the script, and I'm standing here with nothing to do.
Too bad I'm not there.
Why? What would you do?
Sing, boss. Sing.
You sing?
Don't knock it, Mr. Benny. Around Piccadilly Circus in London, I'm known as that sentimental fellow with the mellow bellow.
Hmm, really?
I even sang with the Oxford College Chorale.
What happened?
Oxford and College threw me out of the hall.
I thought so. Well, I'll talk to you later, so goodbye, Dorchester.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Don, now go ahead and have the sportsmen do their number. I'm going to the other room and see how Hemingway and Steinbeck are doing.
Okay, boys, give us a wink and a smile.
Laughter and love songs, a table for two. Dancing and dreaming, just me and you. I remember the days of just keeping time. Of hanging around in sleepy town
forever.
Those sleepy old back roads,
empty for miles,
empty for miles.
Well, you can't
ever dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go
together.
We'd go together like a wink and a smile.
Like a wink and a smile.
Now
leave your old jalopy
by the railroad track. We'll get a hip, double dip, tip, toppy, to see
Cadillac. Well, you can
rev her up and don't go too slow. It's only green lights and all rights, let's go
together.
Here we go with a wink and a smile.
A wink and a smile.
And now my heart hears music. Such a simple song. Sing it again, the notes never end. This is where I belong.
Just
the sound of your voice, the light in your eyes. We're so far away from yesterday.
Together,
together with a wink and a smile. A wink and a smile.
We go together like a wink. And a smile.
We go together like a wink and a smile.
Thank you, fellas. That was delightful. One of my favorite songs. And as the quartet was entertaining us, Jack decided to go back into the room where the writers are holed up and still battling with them.
Now look, fellas, what kind of writers do you think you are? Anyway, that word is murder, not moiter.
Well, a gangster would say moiter.
Well, I'm not a gangster. I'm supposed to be a police captain in this story, whenever we get the script. Read your own script if you can find it. Now, fellas, it's time for our play, so I'll just have to take what you got so far, and you boys just bring the rest into the studio as soon as you can. Now, give me those pages.
Please give me those pages.
All right. Please give me those pages. Now concentrate, will you, fellas? Fine thing. drama on the installment plan.
Well, Jack, how does it look? Are we going to have a play today?
Yeah, but we'll have to do it without a rehearsal. Now, just like they do it in that other show, the WGTD Radio Theater.
Oh.
Here are your parts, kids. Now, let's see. I'm going to be Captain O'Benny of Police Headquarters, and Dennis, you'll be my assistant, Sergeant O'Day.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, welcome. Now, Mary, you're going to be the widow, Mrs. J. Malcolm Smith.
The widow?
Yes. Your husband has just been killed, leaving you $3 million, an estate in Lake Geneva, and one in Twin Lakes, and a 90-foot-long yacht that's over in the Kenosha Harbor. And you're all broken up.
Why? Does the yacht leak? Or does the mansion in Lake Geneva have termites?
No. You loved your dearly departed husband.
Ah.
Now, let's see. Oh, Phil, you'll be the family chauffeur, and Don, you're going to be the bugler.
The bugler?
Oh, those pesky riders must have met Butler. Some riders. Boy, what riders I've got. You're the butler, Don. Well, so much for casting. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for our feature attraction today, we present an original mystery drama entitled The Murder of Malcolm Smith, or He Had an Appointment with a Dentist in the Afternoon, but He Got Drilled in the Morning. Say, that's not a bad title. I think I'll buy those boys a steak dinner tonight. Gee, let's go, kids. Now, the opening scene is the office of Detective Captain O'Benny at Police Headquarters. Curtain. Cue the audience for their applause. Music. Wait a minute. Phil, wait a minute. Is this the theme for a moiter? I mean murder and mystery? Mighty like a rose?
Well, that's what your writers gave me.
Maybe that's the name of the moiter.
Who? Rose?
No, Mighty.
Oh, be quiet, Dennis. Well, okay, Phil. Play what they gave you again, will you? Hey, Sergeant O'Day. Sergeant O'Day?
Yes, sir?
Did you answer the burglar alarm at the 39th National Bank?
Yes, sir, I did. Did you say 39?
Gee, don't you just love it when the writers pick up on my age and include it in the script? I just love those things like that. What wonderful writers I have.
So now your writers are wonderful.
Sergeant O'Day, were there any suspicious characters around?
No, sir. The furniture movers told me that they hadn't seen anybody.
Furniture movers?
Yeah, the two fellows with the safe.
Those were the burglars! What's the matter with you, Sergeant? Here's that pesky phone again. I'll take it. Hello, Police Headquarters.
Hello, this is Mrs. J. Malcolm Smith talking.
Yes?
My husband, J. Malcolm Smith, wealthy stockbroker of New York, Palm Beach, Lake Geneva, and yes, Kenosha, heir to the millions left by his father, has been killed.
Well, that's shocking news, Mrs. Smith. Are you sure your husband is dead?
Definitely.
We'll be there in 5 minutes. Goodbye.
What's up, Chief?
Look, how many times have I told you, don't call me Chief?
That's what your writers wrote for me.
Sergeant, J. Malcolm Stock, the Smith broker, has been murdered. You see, they can't even type straight. Hand me my gun, Sergeant.
Shall I take the bayonet off?
Well, of course. I only use it to roast marshmallows. Now, let's get going. This is an important case, Sergeant O'Day, and we're going to find the murder of J. Malcolm Smith or
what?
Or nothing. We're out of script. Hey, fellas, hurry up with the rest of this, will you? Play something, won't you, Phil?
Okay, Jackson.
Fine writers. They couldn't even finish the sentence. Hold it, Phil.
Here are a few more pages, Mr. Benny.
Well, thanks. Now go back and get to work.
We got a union, you know. We're going out to eat.
Not until you finish the script.
Okay, Blue Eyes.
Gee, even my writers notice them. And now let's see. Oh, yes. This is an important case, Sergeant O'Day, and we're going to find the murder of J. Malcolm Smith, or my name ain't Captain O'Benny. I could have thought of that myself. Let's go. Wait till we get into the car. Stupid sound, man. All right. Get in, O'Day. I'll drive. Well, here we are, O'Day. Come on, come on, open the door. This is the police. Open up or we'll break it down. Come on, O'Day, let's smash. Oh, brother, this script is getting worse by the line. Let's smash that door.
Good evening, gentlemen. Did you ring?
Where's Mrs. Smith?
In the library. Whom shall I announce?
The King and the Junkman.
Oh, be quiet.
Here she is now.
Pardon me, are you Mrs. J. Malcolm Smith?
Yes, Captain.
Now tell me, what do you know about the murder of your husband?
Well, we were sitting in the library, listening to the radio.
What show?
Fred Allen, of course.
Yes, I figured we'd get Fred Allen's name in the script again.
We're listening to the radio when all of a sudden I turned around and there was my husband on the floor with 5 bullet holes in him. Oh, it was horrible. Simply horrible.
You're lying. Here's the body, and he was only shot 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Now, Conum.
Okay, I want the truth. You killed your husband, and I know why. You murdered your husband because... Oh, fine, we're stuck again. All right, Phil, you know what to do. Phil, where's the band?
It's their lunch break. Union rules, you know, Jackson.
Oh, that's just fine.
Jack, the quartet is ready, though. They have a very special song they've worked up just in case we got stuck again.
Okay, Don. Boys, the stage is all yours.
My wild Irish rose, the sweetest flower that grows. You may search everywhere, but none can compare
with my
wild Irish rose. My wild Irish rose, the dearest flower that grows. And someday for my sake she may let me take
the
bloom from my wild Irish rose.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, boys. That was just perfect.
What do we do now, Mr. Benny?
Yeah, Jack, what's next?
Kids, because I think we need to say goodbye for today's show. If our writers had finished their script, we could have...
Mr. Benny,
we did it! What did you do?
We finished our script!
Oh, brother. And how does the script end? Dennis, why don't you read what it says?
Okay, Mr. Benny. It says, a funny thing happened on the way to the studio today. A panhandler came over and asked me for a quarter. Then he said he didn't have a bite in 2 weeks.
So you bit him!
That settles it. I'm going home. Goodbye, everyone.
The new Jack Benny Show starring Gary Stamm was directed by Don Jensen. Written by Steve Brown and Michael Ostrom. Other stars from the 91.1 Players were Mickey Dumay, Don Jensen, Cameron Spencer, Ryan Farrell, Terry Lawler, and Tom Power. The members of the Sportsman Quartet were Bill Lennon-Cole, Jim Deidler, Gary Stamm, and Jim Drayton. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumay, Aaliyah, and McTernan, George Williams College of Aurora University in Williams Bay, and the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lake Bella, Illinois. For the WGTD Radio Theater, I'm Cameron Spencer, inviting you to join us on August 8th for Deep Stealth, a story about a futuristic submarine that slips back into time. Thank you for listening today to the WGTD Radio Theater.
And some reminders on some things you can listen to the rest of today here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we have more classical music, another hour of classics by request, beginning after the news from NPR. And then we'll have recorded classical music from 1 until 4 this afternoon. At 4 o'clock, it's Weekend All Things Considered. Then at 5 o'clock, a Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor. And tonight, Prairie Home Companion, live from the Tanglewood Music Shed in Massachusetts. At 7 o'clock, Higher Ground with Jonathan Overby. And then at 10, Saturday Night Jazz. It's noon. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.